Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to Matthew 7, the first six verses. And following the reading of Scripture, we'll sing together the Gloria Patri. So please stand together for the reading of God's holy word. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way as you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. And God will add his blessing to this reading of his word. Amen. What would you think is the most well-known verse of the Bible by non-Christians or to non-Christians? I'm not talking about nominal believers or any of that sort of thing, but to non-Christians, what would be the most well-known verse of the Bible to them? Well, you might think, well, it's got to be John 3:16. Of course, they might know the reference because it's everywhere in athletic stadiums when there's a football game or some other game on. Someone will have a John 3:16 reference there. But I have no scientific proof of this at all. But I think the most well-known verse by non-Christians is this one, Matthew 7, verse 1. Because as soon as you make any moral evaluation about anything, they will say, judge not, lest you be judged. They even use the Old English. I mean, it's incredible. And the irony is they have no problem judging you. But if you make an evaluation of a behavior and say, well, it's wrong, they're going to make sure you know that's not, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, what are we to understand by these words of Jesus Christ? Is it right to say you and I are not to make any judgments about anything, any evaluations, any moral evaluation? Is the text really saying that? Well, there's two things to help us answer that question, no, that are important in understanding the text. One is the context. If you look back in your Bibles in Matthew 6, Jesus is addressing several different areas of life and telling us not to do it as the hypocrites. So Matthew 6, 1 through 4, tells us that basically the command is you need to give, but don't give like the hypocrites. Because they give to be seen by men. They want to be honored and they want to be recognized. And again, we're not talking about fundraising efforts where thanks is given to those who give. But we're talking about someone who arrogantly, they want all the attention coming to them. He says, give, but don't give like the hypocrites. Then beginning in verse 5 through verse 15, he's telling us you need to pray, but don't pray like the hypocrites. Because they pray same words over and over and over and over and over again because they think they have to convince God to listen to them. But you have a Father in heaven who knows what you need even before you ask. So pray to the Father like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he goes through the six requests. So pray, but don't pray like the hypocrites. Then in verses 16 to 18 of Matthew 6, he tells us you need to fast. But don't fast like the hypocrites. There are times when you need to give yourself to concentrated prayer and miss a meal or two to do that. But wash your face, put on a smile, dress in your best clothes, and don't go grousing and looking sour and all of that to make people know that you're doing that. So fast, but don't fast like the hypocrites. So in the context, when we come here to Matthew chapter 7, what Jesus is saying, you need to make judgments, but don't make them like the hypocrites. And within the text itself, it explains that point, as you see there in verse 5. He addresses these people who are judging in the wrong way, you hypocrite. So the point of these verses is not to say that you and I as believers shouldn't at times, appropriate times, make evaluations, make judgments about things. That's not the point. The point is, how are we going to do it? What's the character of our doing it? How are we to do that? And so as we think about that, I want to sort of organize your thoughts around in three ways. First, I want to talk to you about the judgment of charity. And then the second thing I want to talk to you about, which is the main point of this passage, is the judgment of condemnation. And then the third thing is the judgment of discernment. And those terms aren't original with me. You'll find them many places. But this passage helps us to think about how do we make proper judgments the right way. And the first thing I want to draw your attention to is the judgment of charity. Now, you might say, well, that's not in here, but I think by implication it is. And it's certainly part of all of Scripture in having us think about this. The primary point that Jesus is rebuking is the judgment of condemnation, which we'll get to next. But we can't avoid making certain judgments, even if we wanted to. And there are certain areas where Jesus and the Bible tells us we should do it. But what about what we do among believers? And what we ought to do among believers particularly is we need to operate first with the judgment of charity. What the judgment of charity is to believe the best about the other person, if at all possible. They might say something wrong, they might do something wrong. But we have the tendency to get offended and judge motives. But what Jesus says by way of warning, which I think if we evaluated from the implication of that, is whatever measure you judge with is going to be measured to you. Whichever way you judge is going to be, you're going to be judged in the very same way. And one of the questions you have to ask yourself as you're judging another person is, do I want to be judged like that? Especially, I'm thinking particularly the relationships among Christians. Is that the way I want to be judged? Do I want to have every single little thing that I do that is wrong brought under severe condemnation? Do we not want grace given to us? Don't you want patience? Don't want you to have people be kind to you and be patient with you? There are many times that someone does something and we misunderstand or we think they meant a certain thing. And we get frustrated and angry with them. And then we come to find out that's not what they meant at all. We've totally misunderstood it, and perhaps we've treated them in return in a very bad way. You and I need to operate on the basis of the judgment of charity. In the same way you judge others, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Are we willing to consider the best of other people? Again, it's not to overlook sin, but there's a way to deal with that in a proper way. And there's a kindness and a compassion that's a part of that. We'll talk about, turn to Galatians chapter 6. I'll probably refer to this again. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, we have a good caution when we are dealing with one another, especially as believers. It's in the context of us as a church. In Galatians 6, verse 1, it says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in a right sense in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Each one should carry his own load." We sometimes need to correct a fellow believer, but we ought to do it gently and humbly, because we're a sinner just as they are. And when we don't judge by charity, I think we break this, we violate the point of what Jesus is getting at here. Essentially, the judgment of charity is living out the forgiveness that Jesus told us to pray for. Remember, in the Lord's Prayer, he says, pray like this: "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And then he goes on to explain that if you don't forgive your brother, then God won't forgive you. You and I have to live out in our relationship with one another, especially where there are disagreements or misunderstandings, the forgiveness that we've received. Remember the unforgiving servant? That's who we will be like if we don't practice the judgment of charity. It's living by grace. Grace needs to be the operative word in our relationships. It's far more important to evidence grace than to feel like you got to prove you're right. You might be right, but are you going to be right and lose your brother or sister? You may need to talk to them. You probably do need to talk to them, but you need to start with grace. So the first judgment that I think is very, very important, that is sort of implied, I think, in this passage, is the judgment of charity. Now, the primary thing Jesus is addressing is the judgment of condemnation. The judgment of condemnation is where you set yourself up as the arbiter of what's right and what's wrong, and you pronounce judgment without humility, and you pronounce judgment with arrogance. R.C. Sproul talks about it. He says, "The judgment of condemnation interprets people's actions and motives in the worst of all possible lights. And Jesus calls attention to our tendency to give the judgment of charity to ourselves, but not to others." Let me take you to several passages. Turn to Romans chapter 2, Romans chapter 2, verse 1. There are three passages I want to take you to that where the judgment of condemnation is clearly talked about, which is, I think, what Jesus is getting at here. It's where we set ourselves up as the authority and we pronounce judgment on another person with arrogance, with an authority that doesn't belong to us. And Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says, "You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things." Now, we know that God's judgment against those who do such is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? We're still in Romans. Turn to Romans chapter 14, verse 10. Romans 14, verse 10. Here's the difference between brothers. "You then, why do you judge your brother? Or why do you look down on your brother? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. And then one other passage, turn to James chapter 2, James 2, verse 12. James 2, verse 12 says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's the point. Mercy triumphs over judgment. It's not that you and I can't and aren't, and we're required to make judgments about certain things. So that's a fact we'll come back to, but that's a fact. But that when we make those judgments, we must have mercy triumph. We must do so carefully, fearfully, and humbly. When Peter's given instruction to the elders and how they're supposed to conduct themselves, he says, you're to shepherd the flock of God willingly, as God wants you to be, not greedy for money, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you. We are servants, not sovereigns. And we need to have the authority. It's God's authority. You and I, even in occasions where we have to make a judgment, cannot and should not make those judgments except with great care, with great fear, and with great humility. It's interesting, in Jude 9, we're told about the archangel Michael debating with the devil over the body of Moses, that obscure event, and it says that the angel himself, this mighty angel, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against the devil, but said, the Lord rebuke you. And the reason you and I are not to exercise the judgment of condemnation is because we will be judged in the same manner. So we need to be very careful in the same measure we use, he will use. And it's the way hypocrites do. That's in the verses 3 through 5. The hypocrite has the speck. Jesus used that it's really a graphic illustration. There's the speck in your brother's eye, and you have a beam comparable to the beam that holds up the ceiling in your eye. And you say to your brother, well, let me get the speck out of your eye, when you have a beam in your own eye. How in the world are you going to get the speck out of your brother's eye when you got a beam in your own eye? And the problem is, we're looking at the other person and we're not with humility seeing ourselves. We're not seeing our own needs and our own faults as great as the fault of the one that we're finding fault with. And it's, in a sense, an absurd illustration, but it's communicating the point. We have to first take care of our own sin. And then we can be of help. Or as Galatians 6, you know, we do need to correct the person gently and with humility, taking care that we don't fall into the same condemnation. In our arrogance, we misjudge things. And so that's where an ounce of mercy and a pinch of compassion will allow, and a whole bucket load of humility will help us to make proper judgments. And Jesus is warning us against the judgment of condemnation. Now, I've already said it, but lest you think that means we are not to make judgments about certain things, he goes on to say in verse 6, there are judgments to make. If we look ahead in Matthew 7 to verse 15, you're back in Matthew 7, here he gives us a command for another command to make a judgment about something. It says, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. You and I are to make judgments about things. In 1 John 4, he says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see if they are of God. In other words, you're hearing the word preach, and I tell you that of me preaching. You hear me preach, test it against the word of God to be sure that I'm telling what's right. It's my desire and effort to do that, and I work hard to try to do that, but I'm not perfect. And many of you have let me know that I'm not perfect. So we are required to give judgment. And so we have to practice the judgment of discernment. So that is part of our calling as Christians. And that's what verse 6 is all about. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to swine or to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and they then turn and tear you to pieces. You and I have to know, first of all, what is sacred and what are pearls. Then we have to know, who's he talking about with the dogs and the pigs? And dogs in that society, they aren't our, you know, you have dogs in your home and they're your cute, and they're your beloved pets. And you like having them there. The dogs of the first century were the wild scavengers roaming the streets that would devour you if they could. I mean, that's why the dogs ate Jezebel. I mean, they're prowling around when she was dead, laying in the street, nobody there protecting her. Well, they thought, this is great. This is supper. I'm here. So the dogs, who are they? Remember these, and we have to remember, these are spiritual descriptions. These aren't physical descriptions. These are people who are aggressively hostile to the kingdom of God. These are people who really hate the things of God. And it's not that we should not reach out to them. We should. Paul went on Mars Hill to the philosophers, many of whom wanted nothing to do with the Hebrew God. And he preached to them. He sought to win them. He appealed to them to repent of their sin and turn to Christ. I mean, it was great. A great sermon in Acts 17. But then there were those who laughed and they walked away and he didn't chase them. He wasn't going to give any more pearls to swine or sacred things to the dogs. But to those who were interested, he had all the time in the world. But you and I as Christians at times are called on to make the judgment of discernment. What is right? What is wrong? The scriptures are entirely, completely our guideline to that. We have to know the word and be able to apply the word and think about how the word applies in this particular situation. But you and I need to be on the alert. There are serious moral temptations. There are serious doctrinal deficiencies in our world, and we have to be alert to that. We have to make the judgment of discernment and to make the decision of what is right, what is wrong in those situations. But again, we do so with humility, with caution, with fear, with no arrogance on our part. And so this passage I'm trying to communicate to you is teaching us about how to make proper judgments. How are we to do that? We're to make the judgment of charity toward one another. We're to avoid the judgment of condemnation where we become arrogant and hostile and superior in our own minds. But we do need to judge carefully the right and the wrong in our world and be wise in our world and thus be the instruments and servants of God's righteousness in this world. May he make us wise and kind and merciful and compassionate and yet courageous servants of his in this world. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your truth. Help us, O Lord, as your people to live a righteous life. Help us to be as Jesus wanted us to be, salt and light in our world, to let our good deeds be done before men, that they would shine in such a way that they would glorify you, our Father, who is in heaven. And in this whole arena of making the judgment of discernment, help us to avoid the judgment of condemnation. Help us to have the judgment of charity, particularly toward our brothers and sisters in Christ, so that we might make proper judgments as we evaluate the affairs in our life and in our world, and thus bring glory to your name. Strengthen us to that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.